I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Today's edition of The Memo will be brought to you in black and white. So,
like Tuesday's Journal.
Yes. Did you know we had a power outage at the day? Welcome to The Memo. Did you know we had a power outage Monday
We did. Night? Not at my house, but apparently a lot of people lost power Monday night in Tupelo.
Yeah, it happened. It happened widespread. I'm not on Tupelo Water and Light, so it didn't happen to me.
I am, but it didn't happen to me.
Some parts were saved. I imagine you had.
Yeah, we had power Monday, but we lost power last night, apparently, because all the clocks were out.
Was it a cat?
Another cat?
I don't know. Obviously, I don't know how long it was out because we just slept through it, but that was odd.
I'm sure everyone has heard about the reason for the power outage. A cat
got into a bird's nest and...
down at the substation here on East Main near 45.
Under the 45 bypass, Gateway Park. If you know it by that name.
Gateway to heaven for that cat.
If he had nine lives, he'd just spend them all.
Yeah, he did.
Caleb Bedillion had the story and ran in today's paper, Cat Causes Mass Power Outage. I wish Caleb had tried a little harder. We love Caleb, but power meowtage.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I get what you did there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's sad the cat died, and a lot of cat lovers are up in arms over anyone making light of it, but let's be honest, it's a crazy story.
It's sad.
It's both sad and kind of
funny. But it's natural selection.
Funny. Yeah, you know. That's what happens.
Feline selection.
There's lots of cats out there.
That one. Curiosity. Well, that's what they say. Curiosity killed the cat.
In this case,
I think it was the substation. Hunger killed the cat.
Hunger killed the cat.
If I had to guess.
Yes. Chris?
Chris, you had something to say.
I just stepping back from it, too. Just thinking, it's just weird that a cat can cause a massive power outage like that. And, you know, you hear other times and people say, oh, maybe there's been squirrels or whatever that have done similar things in the past. But I don't know. It just seems like we haven't come up with the way to...
Well, those cats can climb
stuff.
...to protect
the power system from something like that happening.
No. Start getting in there and chewing and messing with stuff. It's just like if you arc on a car battery.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the answer is. It just kind of boggles my mind that...
Yeah.
I mean, it's got a foolproof system. It took care of itself.
That a cat can make that much of an impact.
The substation defended itself.
Yeah, the disconnect switch is what the cat ran into, and he was grounded, or she, whatever, and 46,000 volts. And... Yeah, that was it. Took down some other substations. I don't think the cat had time to meow. Probably not. That was probably instantaneous and hopefully painless. But yeah, you mentioned squirrels, Chris. A lot of times you'll see small power outages because a squirrel gets into a transformer or whatever. Nobody ever gets up in arms about the squirrels getting killed, which I understand because they're rodents. All they're good for is hunting.
Squirrels,
whatever. Squirrels are just a little above rats in my book.
No.
They're a nuisance.
No.
They're all over my roof.
They're like
they've caused damage
dogs.
In my attic before, so I just have no love for squirrels.
Everything causes damage to your house. Why blame the squirrels?
That's part of the problem.
Your whole house is haunted.
Yes.
You know those 7,000 bodies they found at University of Mississippi? There's another 7,000 under your house.
Probably what it
that
is.
Much right now.
The house we lived in for a year, we rented when we lived in Holly Springs. It was an older house, and we kept hearing something walking in the attic above us. And it was clear that there was something crawling up there. And finally, you know, when I'd gone up in the attic and finally was able to find it, it was a squirrel. But Deanna wouldn't let me tell her what it was because she didn't want to know. Like, I guess.
Did you have fun with that?
Yeah, like she was convinced it was a mouse, and
should have been like, I didn't know these things still existed.
But I couldn't tell her until after we left that it was just a squirrel.
I hadn't seen these since the war.
She's so freaked out.
Well, I promise it's not. There may be squirrels in our attic, but that's not what we keep hearing upstairs. It's much heavier sounding
it's
steps.
The children you have locked up there.
Pun intended.
What?
What pun?
What pun?
Did I make a pun without knowing it?
Derek did.
How did I make a pun?
Children are locked upstairs.
Oh, locked.
Oh,
get
locked.
It.
I didn't even.
That's my last name.
I try to forget about you as much as I possibly can.
And he said locked.
When I walk out of this room.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's fine.
Carry on.
Good. That's all right. No. Children you have sequestered up there.
Yeah. So.
Poor Billy. He just didn't fit in with the others, and we had to put him away.
How old
he was
he
too
now?
Normal.
I haven't seen him in years.
He's got a Benjamin Button situation going on, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got a 30 on the ACT, and you're like, nope. Nobody will believe you're ours.
You're too smart for this family.
Up to the attic.
Get out of here.
Caleb's going to be on the show today, isn't he?
He is.
We should run these by him when he comes in. We'll give him alternate suggestions.
We should do that for his cat power story.
Yeah. Who else is on the show today?
Well, Caleb is going to be here to talk about the Ronnie Shumpert situation, big news from Tuesday.
Dennis Sid, I heard, would be in the area.
Yeah, I believe he's going to talk about them fidget spinners.
Them fidget spinners.
I got this fidget cube, but stories about fidget spinners. See?
Read a story this morning that children were daring other children to place razor blades on the end of fidget spinners.
Children are stupid.
That's why you locked them in the attic, apparently. Kids, if you're listening, listen to Uncle Derek and take it from me. Don't tape razor blades to the end of your fidget spinners.
How do you think that's going to end well? In what universe does that end well for anybody?
It's like we can't say much. We played the knife game. You played the knife.
What?
You played the knife game, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, not with like anything more than a butter knife.
Oh, no, we used steak knives.
No, you did not.
Yeah, we used steak knives.
How old?
How fast did you go?
When was last week? Had I turned 32 yet? Sunday was my birthday.
Well, we've only got 9 fingers. I never noticed.
Oh, yeah. Well, what happens? I can take my thumb off. Look, Chris.
Whoa. That's crazy.
Wesley's 6-year old. She still scratches her head when she sees that.
How does she do that?
She's been asking for it. I've done it her whole life.
Look, magic Chris is real. Do it over here. Yeah, I can't do that.
She told a girl in her class her dad could do it. And the girl was like, no, he can't. I was like, what does she know? She doesn't know me.
Is that it?
Well, stick it through there.
I'm trying to. I can't. I got a short thumb.
And then,
it's
great. It's Halloween.
It's not working out for me.
I'm sorry.
There we go. Does that look like my other thumb? Sorry, I'm off the mic here. Nobody can hear me.
I can't.
Whoop. No.
Not it at all.
I'll work on that.
That looks wrong.
I have no magic tricks.
Get Billy to teach you. I'm sure he can do it. He can do everything.
That's all he's been able to do, just practice magic tricks sitting up there in the attic.
I'm telling you, he's been haunting your whole house. It's just deception is all it is. Then it's Sid Emma Kent going to be on the show as well as Adam Robinson today.
Yes.
So full show for you.
Indeed.
We will go ahead and get started.
Now. And now Caleb Bedillion joins us, and we're going to talk about this very important story regarding Ronnie Shumpert and Tyler Cook.
I have a question.
Derek does have a question.
Started. You know I love your writing. I'm a huge fan. Cat causes mass power outage. Couldn't you have a little fun with it? Cat causes mass power meowtage.
There's
several options here. I feel like you just overlooked completely.
On my wife's suggestion, I texted Rod last night and said, new suggestion, power outage, catastrophe. But Rod decided, since there had been some concern on Facebook that we were being insensitive to the animal, that we would not go in that direction.
We didn't come up with these quotes.
That's all Johnny Timmons right there.
B-lineman out-preparing.
So Rod said 5 gold stars for the headline, but I'm afraid we're just going to lay low on that one.
Well, I tried. I was just curious if anything got deleted. If that was your first draft or not.
That was the first draft, right. But my attempt at a do-over got.
My problem is I would have spent more time on the headline than I did the story when it came down to it. Good job, though.
I think a catastrophe.
That's good,
that's
yeah.
What it was.
Yeah.
I'm
glad it came to your mind.
We also have feline found at fault.
A little alliteration. Yeah, I like that.
Okay, nice. That's good.
Purr outage was our next one. We weren't as proud of that one as we were power outage.
There's a purr outage.
Purr outage.
Not the purr station.
I think
station.
That one requires, you have to think about that one, just like 5 seconds too long for it to be funny.
Yeah. Okay, on to, I guess, more important matters. This whole Antoine Ronnie Shumpert investigation by federal authorities, news came down on Tuesday that there will be no charges against Tupelo police officer Tyler Cook in that shooting from last June, wherein Shumpert ran from police after a traffic stop. I believe most people know the whole story. He allegedly attacked the officer, and the officer shot him 4 times. He died later that night. And, of course, there's a civil suit against Cook and the city of Tupelo by Shumpert's family. But this Department of Justice investigation, also the FBI and U.S. Attorney's Office for the Northern District of Mississippi were involved, Caleb. But, I mean, they took their time with it several months. I mean, it's been almost a year since it happened, and we had a little bit of new info, didn't we?
That's right. That's right. So I would say yesterday's news is probably the biggest update we've gotten in this ongoing case since the Lee County grand jury decided last August not to indict Cook on any charges. Those would have been state-level criminal charges. After that grand jury decision, federal authorities did confirm that there was a federal review of the incident. Now, federal authorities are typically pretty tight-lipped about these things, so we didn't get a whole lot of information about what that entailed. There was some indications that all the feds were going to do was look at the Mississippi Bureau of Investigation report and see whether they saw anything in there that merited further investigation. Now, we know, based on the information that was released yesterday, the FBI, the Department of Justice's Civil Rights Division, and, like you say, the U.S. Attorney's Office for this part of the state, did conduct their own investigation. Tyler Cook was interviewed directly by federal authorities. They interviewed the medical examiner that conducted Shumpert's autopsy. There was a review of that autopsy. There was a review of other witness statements, and And those federal law enforcement agencies determined there was insufficient evidence to bring a civil rights violation charge against Cook. That's what the federal charge would have been, violating Shumpert of his civil rights. Such federal prosecutions face a very high barrier.
Right.
It would have been, even if, and the feds didn't say this was the case, but even if there were evidence to indicate negligence or a mistake on Cook's part, that would be insufficient to prove a civil rights violation.
Yeah, very high standard of proof.
That's right. They would have to prove that Officer Cook willfully intended to do something that the law forbids.
Right.
And so, you know, it's hard to indicate someone's state of mind without, you know, really compelling evidence. And so, No prosecution. The feds also did say that they could find no credible evidence contradicting Cook's account of events.
Yeah.
He obviously alleges that Shumpert attacked him. And this is where some of the new information comes in, because now we haven't gotten a public look into Shumpert's medical records, but some of the glances we've gotten do indicate that there was perhaps a cut on his face. And some people had raised questions about that, you know, if Cook really was on the losing end of a fight such that he felt like he had to shoot, you know, such that he had to fire his service weapon to save his life, you know, why does Shumpert's face look like this? The information released by the feds gives us more insight into Tyler Cook's statement. He apparently told investigators that he did land several punches on Shumpert, such that they appear to have scuffled before Shumpert, according to Cook's statement, pinned Cook to the ground. And also in the midst of this, Cook reported that he may have actually hit Shumpert in the face with his service weapon, which was in one of his hands, before he reached the point where, according to his testimony, he feared he was about to lose consciousness, feared his own weapon could be turned against him.
Sure.
And so he shot Shumpert in self-defense from his perspective.
And of course, you know, a lot of this is just simply based on Cook's account, and of course Shumpert can't get his account, and there were really no witnesses
that
went down.
This is something the federal statement yesterday confirmed, is there were other officers in the area who reported hearing the shots, but none of them witnessed the actual encounter. There were apparently several residents of the area who also reported hearing the shots. But again, no witnesses have been found that reported seeing the incident.
Sure.
Now, Carlos Moore, the attorney for the Shumpert family, has claimed a member of the family received an anonymous phone call from someone who claims to have witnessed the incident, and that person gives a somewhat different account.
But they're not coming forward, are they?
That's right. You know, even Carlos Moore has acknowledged he doesn't know who made this anonymous phone call.
Right.
And apparently state and federal law enforcement authorities have been unable to locate this individual. Now, Carlos Moore does claim he feels the federal investigation was insufficient. He says, you know, they didn't conduct any independent forensic investigation, and he thinks they were excessively deferential. They kind of just took Tyler Cook's word at face value. He thinks, you know, from his perspective, that because there's no video of the incident, that there hasn't really been a serious look by law enforcement into whether Cook's claims hold up or not. In his telling, these kinds of shootings where you have an unarmed black man and a police officer have only ever received serious investigation when there's video evidence, such as, you know, people may recall a shooting at a traffic stop, and I believe it was Wisconsin last summer, and then, of course, a shooting in South Carolina received a lot of attention after some video of that surfaced. At the time of the incident, Tupelo police officers were not equipped with body cameras. That has since changed. They are wearing body cameras. If Cook had been wearing a body camera, especially if he were on his back, that would have captured a pretty good view of the entire incident. But he wasn't, and so there's no video.
So Carlos Moore, I mean, he says that the family will continue to pursue the civil litigation and lower standard of proof.
That's right. That's right.
For that.
You do not have to prove your case in a civil suit beyond a reasonable doubt. I believe the standard is preponderance of evidence. So that's basically more likely than not. So different standard of proof. Certainly there have been incidents where individuals were cleared of criminal wrongdoing, but then found liable in a civil suit for damages. Just the standards of proof are different.
Right, right. So I guess this, where we go from here is just the civil suit. Now, that's supposed to take place in December.
The civil suit is scheduled right now for trial in December.
Right.
Depositions have been ongoing. Several actually took place somewhat recently. I've covered enough court cases to know they have a way of dragging on, and scheduled trials have a way of getting rescheduled and pushed back. I'm not saying I don't have any reason to believe right now that will happen, but just based on my experience, I wouldn't be shocked if it did get delayed. But certainly, I think all parties involved want to see this resolved sooner rather than later.
Sure.
So we'll see what happens with that.
And the city of Tupelo, they only had a brief statement saying that, you know, this investigation kind of speaks for itself. And then the Coalition of Concerned Pastors and Leaders, you spoke with James Hull, he didn't have a whole lot to say either.
That's right. That's right. The city basically just pointed out Mayor Jason Shelton's administration issued a statement that the state law enforcement and federal law enforcement has looked into this and found no cause for charges. That speaks for itself. Since there's still litigation, the administration declined further comment. Yes, now federal officials did brief the Shumpert family on the decision, and federal officials did meet with local community leaders here in Tupelo who had expressed concern last year about this case, had even conducted several protests, some of them relatively speaking, given Tupelo's size, were somewhat large. Certainly, we don't see large protests, hundreds of people marching down the streets in Tupelo every day. So that was somewhat notable. So federal officials met last night with some of those community leaders. I spoke with James Hull, a spokesman, one-time spokesman for the CCPL, before that meeting, and basically said he wasn't going to have any kind of statement afterward. And basically, you know, there's really nothing further that can be done. The civil suit is in the courts. Feds are really the highest you can go in terms of getting some kind of criminal action taken. So Hull said there's not much that can be done except to accept these findings from the feds and move forward.
Well, good, excellent reporting, as usual, Caleb, on this. You can find his story, of course, in the Wednesday Journal and at djournal.com. And give Caleb a follow on Twitter, at Caleb Bedillion. That's B-E-D-I-L-L-I-O-N. It's like billion, but you throw an ed in there. Anyway.
I don't think you're helping people find me, Brad.
First of all, you got to find Moron on a map. Where's Moron? Moron's here.
Hey. Oh, boy. I like the Tommy Boy reference.
Thank
that
you.
Was good. All right, Caleb, thank you for your time,
sir.
Sure
thing.
Be sure to look for the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can listen to it for free on iTunes. Your podcast apps are at preprally.djournal.com. So look for a new episode today. And also, Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, check out Double Coverage. It's Ole Miss beat reporter Paris Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry with new episodes every Thursday afternoon. They provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and Rebels. Listen to it for free on iTunes. Podcast apps or at doublecoverage.djournal.com.
Don't forget you can also catch the Daily Journal's news break, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a 5-minute video. Shows are posted each weekday at 7 a.m. at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices. Dennis said joining us today. Look at you. You're fidgeting over there with a cube. Am. But we're talking about spinners.
Well, the follow-up story is fidget cubes, I'm sure.
Oh, is it? Well, those came first.
Yeah, these. Yeah,
the chicken or the egg thing here. The fidget cubes came first.
Well.
Really? The spinners came first?
Spinners have been around since the 90s in some form or fashion.
Now, I heard this. I don't know if this is true.
It's part of an air
it's
conditioning.
Not true.
The person who originally made them didn't renew the patent and now she's making no money off of them.
She had something similar to it, but
they were called boomerangs.
You know, you have to pay for the patents on a yearly basis, like a maintenance fee. And I think in 2003, 2005, she said, meh. And she says today, well, you know, it's not really the same exact thing. I'm not making any money off of it. It's okay. Yeah, right.
What did hers look like? What was different?
Maybe had four prongs instead of three. I don't know.
Well, there's four prong ones out there.
I'm going to Google this mess and see what we got.
Anyway, you did a lovely story yesterday, a lovely black and white print.
And, yeah, but color online.
Yeah. Oh,
I don't know. I just found I think this is still a newer one, but I like this fidget spinner. It's a little different from the ones
that
you wrote
like
about.
That looks like a six shooter.
I know. It's got like what looks like the bullets.
Ball bearings.
Yeah, but it looks like bullets that have been shot. They got a little indentation there in the back end.
That really does look like the barrel of inside of a...
It does.
Actually, they were invented about 6 centuries ago when the samurai and ninja started throwing these things.
Now, look, you can't come in here and start bringing an Asian fly because we can't call you out on it. We all know Marty McFly went back to 1885 and had a Frisbee pan, and that's where all this started.
Exactly.
From.
No,
and
I was
just the source of it.
When I was a kid in the 80s, those throwing stars were like a big deal for some reason. Like, I had friends with throwing stars. I'm like, why do you have these?
Well, that was dumb.
Yeah, I know.
Your story, where all did you visit? You visited the mall. I know there's a kiosk.
It's a mall. Talked to Reed's and talked to a few folks who were, you know, buying and selling them.
Corner Shoe Store has a huge display.
And, you know, Five Below has.
Five Below has them?
Five Below sells them for under $5.
Yeah, but then they got to be the cheap El Cheapo.
Yeah, you can get them for, I think they're $3 or $4. Yeah, at some places, they're up to $16, $17 in other places. The light-up, glow-in-the-dark versions are $16,
$17. Corner Shoe Store has the really high-end ball-bearing ones that are around $20. That, I mean, they're nice, really nice.
Here's a Batman fidget spinner. I want it. Oh, it's only got two prongs, but it looks
I like that. Yeah. Wait, go back up. There's like a radioactive symbol one.
Oh, yeah, there is right
That's
there.
That's nice. I like that.
That one, too.
I was telling Brad, I read a story this morning that kids are now daring each other to place razor blades on the end of fidget spinners. And and I guess duel to the death? I don't really know what the end game here is. But
I read a story yesterday. Some kid, she was cleaning her... She was cleaning her fidget spinner, so she was putting it in her mouth and
choked on it.
She ended up swallowing one of the bearings fell out, and so she started choking on it.
Gosh.
Mom had to take her to the ER,
and they're suing now. Is that what I saw?
I'm not sure.
There's a lawsuit pending from that. Dear goodness,
maybe she got one of the $3 ones. I don't know.
What's the appeal? Why?
Why? I think it's just a big fad, a big toy at
this
point.
It'll be gone in being a June.
Yeah, you know. By this summer, later summer, it'll be
kids
one passing fancy because
MTV and their Tamagotchis.
There's no single maker of these fidget spinners. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a trademark name. I mean, they're everywhere and they're all made in China. Mm-hmm. Shout out. And
really?
and you know, everyone's getting them. They'll have their fun with it. School's almost out, you know, so it won't be much of a problem too much longer, hopefully.
Replaced by something else, surely.
You know, the folks at the kiosk in the mall are you know, they're making bank at this point. They've been selling it for almost 3 weeks now, and they sold, you know, probably about 1,400, and they got another
1,400.
They sold 600 over the weekend. 600.
Just at that little kiosk in the mall. Uh-huh.
And when I dropped by there Monday, she had just gotten a big shipment of another 1,400. She said, hey, you know, sell it while it's hot. Hey, I don't blame
I wonder what they're buying them for. What, how much are we marking up here is what I want to know.
Oh, there's no telling.
What kind of profit are we getting here? Maybe we need to
Just think how much profit Apple makes on their iPhones.
What if iPhones are like $4 to make. That's all that costs. Maybe we start like putting them in with the journals. Like, you want a spinner with your copy of your daily journal today? It's the extra $17.
We'll make it throw a little further.
Yeah. Just come back and hit you in the back of the head, all the delivery people. Your son have any?
He has one only because I bought one. So research purposes, of course.
Two in your household?
No, just one.
Oh, okay.
My son has two. Yeah. Just got them. Got them from Amazon.
Why two?
I don't know. He had enough money to buy two.
What purpose does two serve that one doesn't?
Just
some people
variety.
Like to keep in one hand and spin it, you know. So they can.
Yeah, I'm not talking to you.
One's got an American flag design. He thinks it's cool. And I forget what the other one looks like, but he just
patriotic. I see. Okay. I don't know. Well,
patriotic spinner.
Austin has one. Your boy has two. Billy has two.
No, Drew.
Drew. Okay.
We don't let Billy have anything.
Billy doesn't have anything, but he figured out how to make his own.
He's
up there
practicing card tricks all day.
Oh, God. Well, good for Drew for having two. Chris, how many did the boys have?
Chris is smarter than us.
But Daniel actually asked for one the other day.
Did he?
Because he said everyone has one at school.
And he's like four?
He's four.
And all the four-year-olds have them?
All the teachers I know have.
I couldn't believe that he's already at that point.
I want a fidget spinner, Dad. You're four. You'll get a car before you get one of those.
He saw a picture in the Time magazine story. He just pointed out. He said, I want a fidget spinner. Like, he knew what it was.
They're becoming sentient. We've got to take them all down a notch.
Everyone has one.
What's it mean to fidget, by the way?
All the teachers I know are like banned them or taking them up. Like, that's how their own kids are getting them. It's a circle of life. Like, they're taking them up and taking them home with them, and their kids are getting them, and then they're taking them to school, and it's just that's how they're. This
Happy
is,
birthday.
This is, yeah, yeah. It's not in the case.
You know, maybe by this Christmas, they'll have like big 6 or 12 inch versions.
Yeah,
that'd be sweet.
Decapitate people with, then they'll be putting razor machetes on the end of them.
Oh, these are called ceiling fans.
Back in my day, we didn't have central air. We put those on the ceiling. That's how we enjoyed them on the porch with a mint julep. Well, I'm glad so many people are benefiting from this latest craze. It's another one of those things. It's like, why didn't I think of that?
You know, the sellers will tell you, or some will say, hey, these things are help you focus, and it helps people with ADHD or autism, but there's no clear research or science to.
I want to have one of these, and the only reason I got one is because I'm bad about clicking my pen when I write, and I sit behind Jenna Parsons, and speaking of being decapitated, she will take a machete to my head if I sit there and click my pen. Yours doesn't work.
It does. It just doesn't make that annoying sound.
Well, it's a fidget cube for people who are listening.
So, it's fidget cube.
Which that has helped me. Like,
yours is all kinds of jacked up.
Cut down way on my fingernail chewing. Like,
oh.
I don't...
Oh, get it away.
What?
I don't want that if you've been chewing on your fingernails.
I don't chew on the spinner.
He said cuts down. He didn't say cut out. And he's still toying with it anyway. Yeah. Anybody got any Purell? I still get when I bite into a York peppermint patty, I still get the sensation there of you know, the clicking, but the noise isn't there. So Jenna's not murdering me.
This is a good thing.
It's a plus.
It's a great thing, because if I get writer's block at my desk, that's what I do is spin the pen and click. I'm like a Bond villain.
Oh, you're like that guy. Yeah, the guy, the nerdy guy. Yeah. Which Bond was
Golden
that?
Goldeneye.
Where he's sitting there and setting off the bomb with the pin.
So those I understand. The spinny thing, I don't get.
You just sit and spin.
Dennis, Sid, thanks for joining us today. I'll meet you out in the parking lot when this is over.
And y'all be sure to watch the Daily Journal's Capitol View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. You can watch live on Mondays around 2 p.m. or catch the replay later in the day. Of course, the 2017 session is over, but we've got the special session coming up in June. So Bobby's got plenty to talk about regarding that. So check it out every Monday at djournal.com. We're joined now by education reporter Emma Kent. Emma, how are you?
I'm cold, Brad.
It feels great in here. It's my personal opinion. It's too hot outside. I'll take the cold in here. I want to talk to you a little bit about this summer food program. Of course, every summer, Tupelo Public School District, they have a program where kids 18 and under students can go each day to get lunch. And I think breakfast as well, can't they?
They do breakfast and lunch.
Yeah, during a good part of the summer. This year, partly due to some construction going on at some schools, but also just because they want to see how it works, I guess, get this mobile food program. So basically, the food comes to the kids, right?
Yeah, basically. I mean, they have a bunch of, the district has, you know, lots of vehicles that they, you know, you probably see them driving around town with the Tupelo Schools logo. They have some vans and they'll be using those to take meals out, into the community. Mm-hmm. So basically they'll be set up. They've got a whole list of various places that they'll have the van parked in, kind of like a food truck. I mean, and then in kids who live in the neighborhood, or if they're at, I know they're going to have some set up near like the Boys and Girls Clubs. You know, then those kids can come out and get a breakfast or a lunch depending on which meal is being served that day. Yeah. But so yeah, it's kind of like a food truck for the summer meal.
Food truck. And they need a clever name for it, though, like the lunch lady truck or something.
I know they don't. It's just right now, it's just the mobile vans or something.
TPSD mobile food van. It's catchy. Maybe kind of
it's a little
hard
wordy
to fit that all on the side of the van.
We'll work on that.
Yeah. I like the lunch lady truck. That's just my suggestion. So they're going to target low-income neighborhoods because of, you know, the that's who the program is intended for, right? Because those kids don't necessarily get three square meals a day, especially when school's out, right?
Right. And even, you know, those kids, they might have something to eat at home, but it might not be very healthy, you know, or just during the summertime, you know, you've got kids, right, like you said, who aren't at school. They're not going to get the meal they're used to getting during the school day, but they also just might not have any healthy options at home, and so that's an important thing too. And so there'll be these meals will have, you know, will be balanced and will be the same, have the same requirements that they have during the school year for those meals.
And they're going to be in several places, such as in the Pal's parking lot behind the Link Center.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Police Athletic League area.
Yes. That, near Rankin Elementary
School. Right, near Rankin. June 6th through the 30th from noon to 1. There's also going to be vans at the Northside Boys and Girls Club, the Haven Acres Boys and Girls Club, and Robbins Field for breakfast June 6th through 30th. And they're going to have a van at the North Green Street Housing Authority Rec Center to serve breakfast from May 30th to June 30th and several other places. And they're still going to have also, though, certain schools mm-hmm. that you can go to, like Tupelo High.
Yeah, Tupelo High and then Pierce Street and I believe it's
Lawndale.
Okay, yeah, Lawndale. So they'll you know, they do that every year where they have the cafeterias open and kids can come in for breakfast or lunch. And a lot of the times you get, you know, people who live in that neighborhood can walk there or whatever. But I guess part of the idea with this is that if there's not a school in your neighborhood that you can walk to that's doing this, or kind of like we said, I know they're doing a lot of work on some various school campuses this summer. They're doing some work at Parkway and at Lawhorn. Yeah. So
a lot of stuff from that bond issue that passed.
Yeah. So they won't be able to do those things at those sites, but they still want to try to serve those kids. Yeah. So that's where this comes in.
And
so
that helps out the parents too, who maybe can't get their kids to the school.
Right.
And
right. Some people might not have transportation to drive across town to Pierce Street or drive to Tupelo High School or whatever. Yeah.
So this kind of a trial run too. It could be something we see even if there's not construction stuff going on.
Yeah. This is just the first year. It's their first time going. You know, they had the vans available and they just thought, well, let's just see what happens. Let's try it and see what works. And so yeah, I mean, if it works out well, then I don't think they would do it once and say, yeah, that was great, but we won't do it again. So, yeah, right. I'm sure they'll if it works out, I'm sure they'll continue it if they've got the funding available for it.
So what's the process going to be like as far as making the food, getting it out there, distributing it, and all that?
They'll make it at the school sites, so either at Tupelo High, Lawndale, or Pierce Street, and then they'll pack it all up into meals in like a to-go box or something, and then they'll have cafeteria workers who will do the vans, and they'll load them up and take them out to those sites, and then distribute them from there, and they'll have, you know, all the equipment they need to make sure that the food stays at a safe temperature, and that it stays cool if it needs to stay cool. It doesn't get too hot. They'll be monitoring that to make sure.
Tuna salad in the Mississippi June heat, not a good combination.
Exactly.
I mean, it sounds like a good deal. I mean, I don't know what kind of issues they may encounter or if they try to anticipate anything like that. But I guess mainly just getting the word out to people. Okay, here you go. Here, the van's going to be here at this time and whatnot.
Right, right.
But if you look at your story on djournal.com, you can find that out.
Yeah, it's all right there.
It's good stuff. All right, Emma, thank you as always. Go find a sweater.
I will. I got to get out of here.
Okay.
Thanks, Brad.
Photographer Adam Robison with us now. Adam, how you doing, man?
Doing well. How about you?
Good. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, you had the In Focus photo essay this week that runs every Monday in the journal and at djournal.com. This one was a particularly cool In Focus, I thought. It's a watchmaker by the name of Thomas Scott here in Tupelo. He owns Scott's Watch and Jewelry. And he's been repairing watches basically for like half a decade, 50 years.
Yeah, he's...
It's a long time of doing that kind of work that I would imagine can be pretty tedious at times.
Yeah, he's been at it since he was an early teen. And, I mean, it takes a steady hand and a good eye. As you can see, he's got those magnifiers that he's wearing. And he's, you know, I've got a couple of other pairs of glasses that have these on them. But, you know, they're not as good as the old ones that he has. So he just reverts back to those.
Not to mention patience you have to have, I would imagine.
Yeah, he just sits at that desk. He's had it, you know, or at his work table 40-plus years, and, you know, he just keeps plugging away.
I mean, you just look at, I mean, watches are, just, you know, they're not very big usually, so you've got a lot of small moving parts. I mean,
a lot of small mechanical pieces.
Small instruments you have to use. I'd say it's almost like being a surgeon, except if you mess up, nobody dies.
Right, the watch just stops, so that's pretty much it. So
the ticker stops in both cases, but
yeah,
a little different deal. So you got to go inside his shop, and it looks like it was just a fascinating place to be in there.
Yeah, you know, he's got a lot of other different areas of his business, or I would say little places set up that, you know, he's got a press that he puts the back of the watch back on with, and there were some other little pieces of machinery that help him with repairing watches, doing engraving, and doing jewelry. He does a lot of sizing and sells batteries like crazy. There was one particular size of battery that he says he orders hundreds of every month and goes through every one of them.
Wow.
And I was there for probably maybe 2 hours, and in that time he probably had 10 people come in, and they just wanted batteries replaced.
Wow.
$8.
Jeez.
Pretty good deal, especially if you don't have the tools to crack the backs of those watches open.
Right. So I imagine he works on all kinds of watches, from cheap ones to Rolex to whatever.
Yeah, see, we talked about Rolex, and, you know, Rolex, he said he used to be able to buy directly from Rolex to get the parts, but I don't know, in the last couple of years, Rolex has put a middleman in between him and them. So I think that's happened everywhere else. So whether it affected his price or not, I didn't ask. We didn't get that far. But, you know, really great straight-up guy. You know, he's local fella, raised his kids here. And, you know, we had a great conversation about where we were going to go for lunch. And, and I ended up having him hungry by the time I left. But it was very enjoyable. And he's just a master of his craft, and it's, you know, another one of those types of trades that's just going away with time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, one of those professions you just don't see a lot of people involved in or getting into. Does he work just on, like, analog watches? Does he do digital at all?
I did not see any digitals come through, nor did I see any lying around that he had to work on coming up after I left. What he may have in his stack of things to repair, I do not know. But he gets business from all around the state. He's one of the few, if not only one, in this area that is doing this type of work.
Yeah, don't know about y'all, but when I was a kid, I had one of those sweet calculator watches. That's how big a nerd I was. I was about 10 or 11, had all the tiny little buttons on it. But now I don't even wear a watch. I haven't worn a watch in years.
I haven't either.
Because they annoy me. Kiefer's got one on, but I don't like something that big and heavy around my wrist for whatever reason.
I stopped wearing it when I started photographing furniture about, I don't know, I guess on my own, about 12 or 13 years ago, if not longer, and every time you'd pick up the sofa to move it in a showroom, it sat there and rubbed the inside of my wrist raw. So while I shot, I just took the watch off, which was good. I didn't keep up with time and how long it was taking me. I didn't feel like I was being rushed.
Yeah.
And then once I got a cell phone, 2005, finally when I broke down and got a phone,
yeah,
I never put the watch back on.
Yeah, I got the phone tell you what time it is, and you know it's always going to be correct. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think watches are great and all, and maybe, you know, I would wear a watch again someday if I was, like, suddenly get super rich and I could afford some really fancy and diamond-encrusted watch just to show it off.
But otherwise, an interesting story while I was there, a woman came in with her 16-year-old son, and it was his birthday, and she had handed down a watch, a pocket watch that she had given to her father and handed it down to him. Well, it finally just quit working and brought it in to see if he could, you know, open it up and get it repaired. And he said it was made a particular way where he couldn't get into it. So, you know, there went that family heirloom. But he's like, I've got some other, pocket watches if you'd be interested. And the kid turned around and bought a pocket watch off of him right then and there. And, you know, Mr. Scott ended up replacing the battery on it, which he ends up scratching the date on every battery so he'll know how long it lasts, and filled out the warranty card for the kid and sent it off. And the boy already had a chain to hook it to.
That's funny.
And he was, he was into pocket watches. That's 16-year-old.
I know my 14-year-old a couple of years ago got a pocket watch. Like, she'd wanted one. She got it for her birthday or something. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it lately. I don't know if she still uses it, but you don't see a lot of that. Those are even, you put it in your pockets, and you put your phone in your pocket, so it's even less.
Yeah, I mean, most kids have their face buried in their phones. So.
Exactly. Well, I kind of wonder. It kind of made me think. I mean, does he get a lot of really old watches that people want to bring into repair? Or did you see any around there that looked like they were really ancient?
Not anything that was just stuck. You know, just stuck out as being extremely old or vintage, but. Other than the one that came in that was 40 years old.
But I imagine as much experience as he has, he's probably seen some pretty old ones. And
yeah, I would suspect so.
Would know what to do with that. Where is his business located?
He is on Gloucester Street, very close to Milam Elementary.
Okay.
But near the opposite side of the street.
So near Crosstown.
Just past Crosstown.
I got you. Okay. Well, good stuff. Again, you can find Adam's work in Monday's Journal and, of course, at djournal.com. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, this show probably ran really long. We should
It was a good episode.
Just say, well, it was.
It's a wealth of information, a bevy of information, if you will.
A plethora?
A plethora
of information?
Would you say I have a plethora of sweaters? So good times. Hope you all learned something today. Children, don't smoke. Don't put razor blades on the end of your fidget spinners.
And if you're a cat and you're listening, stay away from power substations.
And at all costs, please stay away from Brad Locke's house because they may lock you up in the attic.
It's possible.
Yeah. Either way, it's haunted.
You'll have company.
Just steer clear of it.
Either
not reassuring.
Either Billy or the ghost. Billy.
Terrible. You can find us online. Memo.djournal.com is where new episodes are available. You can find out when those episodes are available by following us on Twitter @DJournalMemo. And the stories discussed today can be found in your daily journal or online at djournal.com, the new djournal.
Mm-hmm. New and improved. And we'll see y'all on Friday then.
Y'all.
We're in the South here, Derek.
I can't say that word.
Why not? It's a great word.
It's one of those that sounds weird coming out of my mouth.
Yeah, well. Does it sound weird coming out of my mouth? I don't think so. We'll see y'all next time.
Bye, you guys. If you're not going to say y'all, what are you going to say?
Yeah.
Bye, you.
You all.
That's just weird. Nobody says
everyone.
That. Nobody says that.
Bye, everyone. Bye, everybody.
Bye, fellow humans.
Bye, folks.
Bye, people.
Good day. Good day, citizens. Sayonara.
Hasta la vista.
Are we still on the air?
Arrivederci.
Is the music running?
Yeah, we're talking over the music at this
point. Chris needs to cut us out because it's just cut us.
At this point, you stay through the music to hear the Easter egg at the end of this.
Oh, the post-credit sequence.
Yeah, inside the coda there at the end.
Sure.
Yeah.
I wonder if we can make it all the way to the end of the theme song.
I'm sure we could if we keep talking. If we just stay over the music and people keep sticking around. It's like, they never do this before. This is new. It's like an Easter egg.
Exactly.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. Full of chocolatey goodness.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So you get all the way to the end of the music, which should be right about
somewhere in here.
Here. And then you go tune in next time when you might hear Chris say...